You like the picture there? How many know where that's taken? Look over that horizon. How many know? You got an idea where that is? Nowhere, because Gemini made that. That's artificial intelligence. Don't worry, I counted all the fingers. They're real people. I mean, they're not real people, but yeah. I told it I wanted a picture of someone sharing wisdom with someone else, and that's what it gave me. It took a little bit of a readjustment to get it the way we wanted it, but that's what we're talking about, is sharing wisdom. I'd encourage you, if you would, to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. A couple of people have told me in the past couple of months, Colossians is their favorite book of the Bible. That's pretty neat. So we'll be in chapter 4. You can scan that QR code if you got a smartphone. You can scan that QR code. It'll take you there for that passage and for others as well. Colossians chapter 4. This sermon, as I mentioned, is a follow-up to the series we were doing before Advent. And the actual title of this sermon, or the concept in this sermon, is sharing wisdom. And it can be a tricky task. So that's what we'll talk about today. As I talk about wisdom today, I want to be real clear that although this applies to sharing any godly wisdom with anyone, I'm going to be talking specifically about sharing the wisdom of the gospel of Christ, namely the gospel of Christ. And before we read our main passage, the Colossians passage, I want to read half a dozen verses to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at the beginning in verse 10. So let me just read these other verses to you, starting at verse 20 rather, 1 Corinthians 1:20. And listen to what it says about wisdom and how it relates it to the gospel of Christ. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Boy, I could almost preach on that passage today. But look at the verse that I put on the screen, verse 24 from that passage, and read it again. It says, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. So the concepts in today's message are applicable, even transferable, to sharing any kind of godly wisdom with anyone. But this message is going to talk specifically about sharing the wisdom of the gospel of the salvation of Christ. And I want to begin by just asking, do you find it difficult to share wisdom with people? Do you find that kind of a hard thing? I think it is sometimes. I think one of the reasons is it is hard for people to receive wisdom. It's hard for them to want to hear it. Any kind of wisdom, even advice, even instruction, it isn't about wisdom, it's just here's how you do this. The other day I was standing at a fast food counter, and I was watching the clerk punch the buttons on the touchscreen that was before her. And I could tell this is not her forte, this is not her strength. First, when I ordered what I wanted, she used the wrong words, like maybe she was in a different restaurant. I said, I want the mini burgers. I'm changing the name, of course, because I don't want to divulge the restaurant this was. I would like the mini burgers. And she said, you want the jumbo burger? And I said, no, I would like the mini burgers. The jumbo and mini. We don't have a jumbo and mini, right? And so she just wasn't getting the words right. Second, she wasn't taking advice from her coworker, who'd worked there longer than her and had more knowledge of this, and just said to her, Mabel, he's asking for the mini burgers. They're right down at the bottom. We sell those all the time. Right there. Those are them. And she replied, I know what he's asking. I know what I'm doing here. Ooh, she wasn't taking that well. And then third, she was poking that flat screen like it was a 1956 cash register that you had to hit the keys hard to hit the ribbon onto the ink, onto the, you know, to make the thing. She just hit it really hard. I thought she was going to break it, you know? Now, honestly, I thought she was at the right place because I didn't want her back in the kitchen making my food. I really liked where she was. She was in a good place there. And as I thought about it afterward, I thought, you know what her biggest problem was? It wasn't that she didn't know how to touch a, a flat screen. It wasn't that she didn't know the right words. Her biggest problem was she would not listen to what someone who knew how to help her wanted to say. And that problem is throughout our society. I want you to think about this for a minute. If people are reluctant to accept just raw information on how to take an order in a restaurant, can you imagine how much more reluctant they are to have someone like you or me give them advice about eternal things or about life change or about very important things in life? You know, if you've turned your heart to Jesus and if you've humbly trusted him for your salvation, you have wisdom to share. Just your story is wisdom that is worth sharing to other people. But sometimes sharing that wisdom with others is kind of like getting a cat to take a pill. Have you ever done that? Yeah, that's a real challenge. And sometimes it's that way with people. It's hard. And so that reluctance, it simply exists. It's hard for people to receive wisdom. But that reluctance means if we're going to be speaking to people about Christ, then we really need to think before we speak. You know, that's a really difficult concept for me. Steve, think before you speak. Think before you send that email. Think before you text. Think before you do that. It's difficult. But it's really important if we're going to share wisdom for us to do that, because again, there's just something about humankind that resists being given wisdom. Have you seen it in other people? I love seeing faults in other people. How about you? Have you seen it in your own self? Have you seen it in your own self? Do you feel it sometimes when someone's trying to give you wisdom? I don't want to hear wisdom from them. If that's the case, repent of it. Tell God, I'm sorry I did that, man. I really need to be hungry for wisdom. When you see it in others, let me remind you, think before you speak. I've often been tempted, perhaps you have as well, when I'm trying to help someone think through a difficult part of their life that's spiritual in nature or not, it's just pure wisdom, and I'm trying to help them through that, and they become closed off to that, they're reluctant to that, or closed-minded, I want to think, well, I'm just not going to help them. You know? I know exactly what they need to do. I know exactly, but they're not listening. So, yeah, I'm not going to help him. But whenever I feel that way, I have to remember, even though it's challenging, it's our job. It's our job as people who have found wisdom in Christ, as people who have surrendered our lives to Christ, it's our job to help others do the same. For example, what does the Apostle Paul say to the Christians in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20? This is my life verse. And he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. By the way, he's not saying me, myself, and I. We're Christ's ambassadors. He's saying us, all of us, are Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We have been given this task of sharing the wisdom of the gospel of salvation with others, like we're Christ's ambassadors. Or the Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. We are to be spreading the saving message of Christ, the ultimate wisdom of God. Now, some of you are thinking, I opened my Bible a long time ago to Colossians. Are we ever going to get there? We are. We're there now. In our passage today, the Apostle Paul is talking about his work in sharing the gospel. And the words he gives here are words that we can look at and gain wisdom from as we live to share the gospel of Christ. So follow along silently, if you would, as I read Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Paul says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So I want to today look at this passage. And I want to give you something really corny, the B's of sharing wisdom. Is that not one of the cornier slide titles you've seen in your life, right? The first of these B's, though, is be prepared. Isn't that the Boy Scout motto? I think it was when I was a kid, be prepared. You can't really tell someone how to get right with God, how to find forgiveness in Jesus, if you yourself have never received that forgiveness, if you yourself have never really been saved? So number one, under be prepared, be sure that you've actually found Christ, that you've received him as your Savior. This concept isn't in our passage, but it's just common sense. I cannot tell any of the women who are here how they should behave when they're delivering a baby, because I've never delivered a baby. I've never had a baby. I've been there. I watched. But I don't have any counsel or advice or wisdom to give them because I've never experienced childbirth myself. I will say this. I went to the classes. I learned how, you know, the nurse says, you're a coach, Dad, you know. And so I went into the coaching thing and I said something to my wife, and the look she gave me said, shut up. She doesn't say shut up because that's a bad word, but yeah. Yeah, you can't give that kind of wisdom to somebody if you've never experienced it. I can give you wisdom on being a dad because I've experienced it. And I can give you wisdom on how to walk with Christ because I've found him and I've encountered him and he's changed my life. If you want to share the wisdom of Christ, it really begins with knowing who you are in Christ. Have you realized your own need for forgiveness? If you haven't, then you're really not walking with Christ. Have you turned in your heart to Jesus, trusting him that he died for your sins? If you haven't, then you don't have the gospel wisdom to share. Have you found the humility to say to him, Jesus, I need to be forgiven. Thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me. And are you following him? You see, before you share anything regarding God's wisdom, be sure you're on the right path yourself. Be prepared. Be sure you have found Christ. And prepare yourself by actually taking time to pray. Look at verse 2 again, the first four words. Devote yourselves to prayer. And some people say, I don't really know how to pray, you know. I don't know how to pray out loud. I don't know how to pray silently. I wasn't paying attention when they covered that in Sunday school. Did you ever hear the acronym ACTS, the ACTS acronym for prayer? How many have heard that? Okay, maybe 20% of us have heard that. I'm going to share it with you this morning. It's the letters ACTS, and it kind of tells you these are the ingredients to go into a prayer. You might want to jot them down. I'm not going to put them on the screen for you. And it doesn't have anything to do with the gospel or the book of Acts in the New Testament, but it's just the letters work. So when you go to God in prayer, A, what does that stand for? Adoration. Adoration. So I come before God and I say, God, I adore you. You are everything to me. I love you. I worship you. And then the letter C, that would be confession. You know, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you do that. You confess your sins. And by the way, you don't need me to do that. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a priest to do that. You have both of those in Christ. The Bible itself says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and that person is not Pastor Steve. That person is Christ. So you go to him in confession. That's A, C. That's the C in this. And you say, God, I confess my sin to you. I blew it so bad with my wife when I left the house this morning. I'm going to ask her to forgive me as soon as I can. Please forgive me for doing that. Adoration, confession. The letter T is thanksgiving. And that's where you thank God for the good things. God, thank you for the raise I got at work. Thank you I got this car to go in. Thank you, I finally fixed my snowblower just in time for that big snowfall. Thank you for all these good things, God. A-C-T. The letter S is tricky because it's a word you only use maybe once every 1,000 years. Supplications. Supplication is an old-fashioned word for the requests, the things on your heart you'd like to ask God to do. God, please help my daughter. She's going through such a hard time. God, please help me with my taxes. God, please help me with these things. A-C-T-S, supplication. And a supplication, you might want to add something like this. God, please give me wisdom and someone to share it with. You see, if wisdom comes from God, and if God wants me to share it with people, then praying for his help simply makes sense. So make it part of your daytime ritual to pray that God will give you wisdom and the opportunity to share it. Pray so that you're prepared. And look out for the needs and opportunities that God puts in front of you. Now, more than one time, I'll just tell you about one time. It was actually a pastor who's a relative of mine. And I think we might have been vacationing together or something. And we were going in and out of those stores that are selling things, you know. And I've been talking to the clerks. I've been talking to other tourists. I'm talking because it's what I do, right? And this pastor said to me, "Steve, I cannot believe the way you can naturally talk about God when you are with complete strangers. I don't know how you do that. When we're in a restaurant, you're talking to the waitress about her walk with God. And when we meet someone out hunting, you're talking to God about God to them. I don't know how you do that. Let me tell you, it's not magic. It's not magic. I just pay attention. And I have that in the back of my mind all the time. And I resist the tendency to become the new homeowner in the Progressive commercials. You don't know what that means. Yeah, there you got it, right? I don't want to be him. But I look for opportunities. See, God wants you to share the wisdom that he's given you. So he actually opens a door for that to happen. Look at verse 2. It said, devote yourself to prayer. And the next two words say, being watchful. So look for that to happen. And then in verse 3, he says, pray for us that God may open a door. So pay attention first to what maybe someone's needs are, and pay attention as well to how God might open the door. Do you know where I learned this, by the way? I learned it two ways. Number one, by just watching others do it who could do it. My mom could do this like no one I ever met. We're sitting there in the Everglades watching speedboats jumping and people on skis doing things humankind should never do on skis. And my mom's talking to the woman next to her who lost a loved one, and she's crying. And my mom's telling her about Jesus. How do you do that, Mom? And, you know, I'm 10 years old. I'm like, oh, it's kind of embarrassing that she's doing that. And another part of me is like, that's really cool how she's doing that. Just watch other people who can do that. Years ago, we used to have Vacation Bible School in March. Do you remember when we did that 100 years ago? And it was my job one year. I was supposed to go to every Sunday school class and tell the kids how to be saved. How do you come to faith in Christ? And so I went into the class that my daughter happened to be in. She and all her friends were in that class. She might have been like in seventh grade. I can't remember how old she was. And so I sit down and say, hey, I want to talk to you guys about how to be saved. And my daughter looked at me. I mean, she just drilled right into me. And I explained the gospel to those kids. And she never blinks. She doesn't do what a seventh grade daughter usually does. Ah, you know, she's not that. She's like into it. And so I think, why? She knows how to be saved. So that night, Laurel puts her in bed. And I go upstairs and say, hey, Esther, you were paying so much attention tonight. What was going on in your head? I was watching you because I want to know how to do that. There it is. Just watch. Watch people who do that. Yeah, that's number one. How did I learn this? I watched others. Number two, I learned it just by trying. You know, just give it a shot. Try to bring up God in a conversation. If it fails, stop. I got to tell you, I've done it sometimes where I just made the guy mad, right? And here's a thought that comes to your mind when that happens. You're like, I tried to share this wisdom of the gospel of Christ with this person, and now he's mad, and I think I caused more harm than good. That's a lie. God will take care of that. God will take care of that. Just try it. And then, here's the next thing. I critique my attempt mercilessly. You know, like Chuck Knoll would for the Steelers back when you could yell at a football player and he wouldn't pout. That's what I do to myself. You know? Steve, don't do that ever again. He wanted to hit you when you said that. Steve, do this more. Because that really seemed to open some doors. And then I take another run at it. You probably saw when we read the scripture that in verse 2 it says, be thankful. Have a heart that is thankful. Let me tell you why. Because no one wants wisdom from someone who is miserable. And in a sense, that's the opposite of being thankful. Cynicism. Man. I got an A+ in cynicism class. Skepticism. I got an A++ in skepticism class, right? Those are very relatable things. And they're a little entertaining if you can bump into someone who's cynical and skeptical all at the same time. It's kind of like it's watching a movie in 3D, right? Yeah. But that doesn't make people want to be like you. No one says, boy, I want to be cynical like he is. That would be fun. So Paul writes in verse 2, be watchful and be thankful. And that's something you can't fake. You can't just turn that on. Okay, I'll be thankful. But it is something you can choose. You can choose to be thankful. And you begin to choose when you do what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, where it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. And that turns your heart toward thankfulness, transforms you. Thankful people are generally healthy, more healthy, physically, emotionally, mentally, and for sure, spiritually. And thankful people are much better at sharing the wisdom of Christ than those who are not. Okay, so that's the first B, be prepared. Here's another B, be clear. In verse 4, Paul says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. And what Paul is complaining is the gospel, which the world desperately needs. And when you look at other passages in Scripture, you can really sum up the gospel to like four things. First off, God loves us. He has plans for our lives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Unfortunately, we ignore those plans. Yeah, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we sin. But check this out. Christ died to atone for our sins. He died to cover over our sins, to pay for our sins. And we receive forgiveness and life when we turn from our sins and trust Christ. That's the gospel. You're like, well, that's the gospel. How am I ever going to remember those things? Well, can you remember a four-speed, driving a four-speed? Did you remember when you were in second gear, you needed to go to third next? Oh, wait a second. How many can drive a four-speed? I'm just kind of curious. Ah, boy, those of us that can't, we have our hands high in the air, baby, because we can drive a standard. Yeah. Okay, let me go to something a little maybe more that you can do. How about tables, four legs? No, that's boring. No. How about this? How about four bases? You know that there's like first base. Wait, hey, do you have this memorized? What do we call the first one you go to? What's it called? Okay, let me help you. First base. Say it out loud. First base. And what's the next one? What's it called? And what's the next one? What's it called? And what's the last one? What's it called? Home plate. Yeah. See, you can remember that. You can remember these things. I mean, who can't remember that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? First base. You can write this down right now, and then you can just commit it to memory. You read that over 10 or 12 times. You read that over four nights in a row. You'll have it. The gospel, God loves you and has plans for your life. Each of us tends to ignore those plans, and we go astray from God's plan for our life. But God loves us, and Christ died for us to atone for our sin. You're rounding third base. Come on home and repent and trust him. Do you see that? That's the gospel. That is the wisdom of Christ. That is the wisdom of God. It is the greatest piece of wisdom anyone ever gave you. And it is the greatest piece of wisdom you will ever give anyone. But you have to be clear. Hey, I've been thinking about coming to church and I like God and stuff. Yeah, God's cool. Yeah. That ain't clear. You want to be clear. Pray, Paul says, that I can proclaim it clearly as I should. Be prepared. Be clear. And be wise. Be wise. Be wise in how you behave. You cannot be the neighborhood jerk and expect someone to come to your door asking for spiritual wisdom. You cannot be the guy at work who's always pointing out the faults in everybody else. Do you see what, you know, you can't be him and expect to share wisdom. You can't be the gossip who knows every piece of juicy, every morsel, juicy morsel of gossip and shares it regularly and expect anyone to come to you with any real need, let alone a need for wisdom. And so verse 5 says, be wise in how you act toward outsiders. You want to be wise in how you live your life. You want to be wise in how you respond to the opportunities, the openings. Verse 5 says, be wise how you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So I have this friend. I haven't been with him in a long time. But he's that guy who, he always has a great story to tell. And you're like, ah, he's going to tell one of his stories. Well, pull up a chair. Let's hear it, you know. And often his stories are about what we would think of as a God thing. You know the kind of guy? He's just very interesting and great storyteller. One time, he told me a story. I don't know what to make of this, honestly. He was going through Punxsutawney, and he stopped for breakfast where he normally stops. He knows most of the guys there. And as he's walking by, the guy at the bench, not the bench, the booth right next to him, just, boom, he goes, whoa, right in his pancakes, face in the pancakes. He's down. You know, and people say, hey, what's going on, Vern? What's going on there? And somebody reaches over to get a pulse. There's no pulse. And so my friend, he says, I didn't know what to do. And my daughter's a nurse. And so she said, sometimes you just kind of shake someone. You know, you don't have to do CPR. You just kind of shake them. And I didn't know what to do. So I just went over and I said, Vern. And he went, what? And then, hope I get the initial here. Then Vern goes, what? What the H is going on here? Right? Just like that. Right? He raised the dead right there in that place. My friend did. And his buddy who's sitting next to him, he says, you were dead and that guy shook you and you're alive again. That's a great story, isn't it? And so I said to my buddy, I said, man, how do those things always happen to you? Listen to what he said. He said, I pray a simple prayer every morning. I say, God, make my life interesting. And don't let me miss what you're doing so I can be part of it. That's a pretty cool prayer, right? He wants to be wise. If you want to share wisdom, you'll need to be wise in how you respond to openings and how you speak, the words you choose to use, to either turn people away from Jesus or draw people to Jesus. You know, we don't want to choose our words as in water things down. We never do that, right? But look at verse 6. It says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Read everyone as every stinking person. Okay? Notice what Paul doesn't say here. He doesn't say, make your conversation marked by cleverness. Make sure you use AI to get a picture of an older lady helping a younger man as they're looking over a field with coffee in hand. Yeah. He doesn't say to be clever. He doesn't say to be sharp in presentation. He doesn't even, though you know Paul believes this with all his heart, he doesn't even say, be sure you're got all the dots, I's dotted and T's crossed in your theology. He doesn't say that. Notice what he does say. He uses, the NIV translates the word conversation. It's actually the word logos, which we talked about a lot over Advent. And there's a way that word is understood that it is a conversation, a dialogue that is constructive. Let your conversation, so he says, it's a conversation, it's not a lecture. Because I don't know anybody that wants a lecture, right? Number two, he says it's full of grace, not full of judgment. And number three, he says it's seasoned with salt, it's tasteful. And then number four, he says it's specifically for the person. You know, answer everyone for the person that you're talking to. Be wise in the way you behave, in the way you respond to openings, and in the words you choose. Now, as you do this, be careful to let God do his part. Be careful that God is already doing his part. Because God and God alone must be at work. Did you catch those words in verse 3? Look back at them again. It says, and pray for us, and then here it is, that God may open a door. That God may open a door for our message. So understand that God and God alone creates the opening. Hear this, you cannot force the gospel through a closed door. My dad used to have this thing he said, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You can't force the gospel into a closed heart, but look for that opening because God is the one who creates that opening. And when you keep running into a brick wall, maybe cool your jets a little bit. Maybe take a time out for a little bit. But when God opens that door, look for him to do it and pray that he will do it. Walk through it and share the wisdom of the cross of Christ. Second, God and God alone speaks to the heart. This is just really, really humbling to me. I've shared the gospel I don't know how many times in my life. Just many, 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 many times. You know, before I was a pastor, we used to practice. One time we made a, a trip from Georgia to Kentucky for a concert. And in the back of that Oldsmobile, it was a fast Oldsmobile with a 350 in it. It was a good car. And in that there was like four of us in that car. And we practiced sharing the wisdom of God, the gospel. Those four, first, second, third, and fourth base things, we practiced that over and over again. I've shared the gospel more times than I know how to shake a stick at, a lot of times. But oftentimes, and this is what's really humbling, the most effective times was when I was least on my game. Do you understand that? I shared the gospel and I'm like, wow, that was just really blurry. I can't put a noun in front of a verb to make a sentence. That was just awful. And guess what? The guy sitting across from me at the table says, that's exactly what I need. That's what I need. How does that happen? Because it's God that speaks to the heart. Not you. Not me. We just say some words, and the words are important, you understand. But those words are lifeless without the Spirit of God being in them and doing the change. So trust God to speak to the person's heart. And God and God alone creates the opening, speaks to the heart, and God alone gives you the right words to say. There's a Bible verse that I think everyone in a Bible college wants to make their own. Because everyone in the Bible college is learning stuff about God that they have to remember for the test, you know? And so they come upon this verse. It's John 14:26, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples about the advocate. That's the Holy Spirit. He says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will bring them to remembrance, everything I have said, or remind you of everything. You're in a Bible class, and maybe it's on the Gospel of John, and the teacher says, pop quiz today, and you know he does pop quizzes just about every week, and you knew it was coming, but you didn't study. You didn't study. And so you say, I'm not worried, though, because the Holy Spirit is going to bring to my remembrance everything that's on this pop quiz. That's really a freshman mentality, because it never works. It never works. It doesn't work that way. But when you're learning what God's word says, when you're reading it and studying it, and man, I got to tell you, life change happens in small groups. So when you're doing it with other people together, you will be amazed at how God helps you tell your story, give your wisdom, and helps you respond to their stories as you hear them. God and God alone gives you the words. And you trust him to do that. And fourth, God and God alone transforms the life. He makes the changes. You don't make the changes. I remember one time at the university, I was sitting in our apartment, and I was with one of my roommates. His name was John. We were talking about when a girl breaks up with you, which never happened to me in all my life. He lied. And as we were talking about it, we were kind of philosophizing. Wow, is that right? Is that word right? We were BSing. And he says this sentence. He said, Steve, I'll tell you what. Girl breaks up with me, I'm never going back. Because, and here's the sentence, people never change. A little cynicism there, wouldn't you say? But you know what? In a sense, that sounded true to me. And here comes my mom into the sermon for a second time in 1 week. I went home later, and I was talking to my mom about that session that I had with John in the dorm room, or in the apartment, rather. And my mom said, people don't change except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. When the Holy Spirit is involved in a life, in a conversation, in you sharing wisdom, then God and God alone can melt the heart and transform the heart and change the heart. And as you share the wisdom of the cross of Christ, let God bring that change and give him the space to do it. Gemini does a better job than Bing with pictures, don't you think? That woman would have seven fingers on that hand if that was a different one, right? You know, if you have come to the end of yourself and you have turned your heart to Jesus, and if you hear me saying that, like, yep, that would be me, then you probably have. If you're like, I'm not really sure what that means, then probably you need to pursue that. If you have come to the end of yourself and given your heart to Jesus, asking him to forgive you and to cleanse you and to fill you and to transform you and change you, then you have wisdom. You have the wisdom that comes with the gospel of Christ. You have the wisdom of your own story and what you have experienced. And as you grow in Christ, you grow to know him more and you understand his word more. And that wisdom quotient that you have, it expands, it gets bigger, it increases. That wisdom is for you to apply to your own life so you can stop making foolish decisions. It is for you to use as a foundation to make wise choices, wise decisions for yourself and for those you care for. And you see it and you use it more and more as time goes by. And you need to realize along the way, this wisdom is not just for me and those I care for. It is for me to share with others. God has given it to me to share with others. And that can be a tricky task. Because some people don't like it when you tell them there's a difference between a mini burger and a jumbo burger. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and so without him there is no wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And as you see the need and you see the opening and you begin to share your faith, the wisdom that God has given to you, and you follow the Spirit's leading in that, you may be very surprised at how God works. The wisdom you have from God is for sharing. I want to pray that you could share it as we conclude our time together. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's pray. God, we see that so often the world regards what you have to say as foolishness. But deep within the heart of every man and woman, every child, is a desire for the wisdom that you have. May we, if we have not received that wisdom ourselves, if we've never come to the end of ourselves, may we even today say, God, I'm not doing this right. I need you to forgive me. I trust Jesus' death on the cross to pay for my sins, and I will follow you. And when we do that, whether we did it just now or we did it years ago, may we consider the wisdom of that message, the wisdom of the cross of Christ, and may we become men and women who share it for your honor and your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.